And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show, like we send our signal way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, a couple of breaking stories. Number one, it's not truly breaking because it's been going on all day, but Hurricane Idalia did make landfall right at the Big Bend area of Florida, right there where the Panhandle connects to the major peninsula of Florida. And it's been big. I mean, it was Cat 4 at one point. I'm watching on one of the screens right now as some of the residents are saying the storm surge has been apocalyptic. And I have not had a chance to see a lot of footage yet. I don't know to the extent. At one point, they were saying this is an unprecedented hurricane that was coming ashore. But I don't know that it made the same level of damage that they were concerned that it might. You can imagine that Governor DeSantis is off the campaign trail right now. He's doing what he needs to do as a governor. His whole National Guard has been activated, and they are working through the issues for Florida. So blessings on the state of Florida, and we hope for the best with all that. The other one story, this just happened, just in the last little bit here. But you may recall that a few weeks ago, how long has that been, Boomer? Like a month?
Well, it was a little bit more than a month, I believe.
Was it really?
Maybe a month and a half to two. I thought maybe I'm wrong.
So Mitch McConnell,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Senate Minority Leader actually, Mitch McConnell, who is I believe 80. Check on that when you can. I think he's 80 or 81 years old. He had a moment at the microphone about a month-ish ago. And
81.
He's 81. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he froze, and you could tell that he was out of it at the podium, just standing there, didn't know what to do. And his aides had to take him off, you know, to the side. He came back later, said he had just, you know, been dehydrated or something like that. It just happened again, just today. So I just saw the video. You could tell he went into complete, you know, blank. He did not know what was happening. And two of his aides had to come over and ask the press to give them a moment. And it's not good. That, by the way, is the leader of Republicanism in the U.S. Senate. Now, here's the dynamics, and it sucks, but this is what they're doing. It's obvious he's having health issues. Obvious. It's obvious, too, by the way, that he's become somewhat infirm. I mean, he's been in the hospital this year. He had a bad fall at one point, and it's just, look, dude, you're 81 years old. Why are you still there? I don't understand these people that apparently don't have a life outside of politics. And I understand when something's your passion or when something's your calling. I get it. I do. I doubt very seriously that I'm going to be idle in my later years. To the extent that I can, I'm going to be doing something all the time. I guarantee you. I've been working since I was 14 years old. I'm going to be doing something. But the truth is, there's a time and a place when you have to recognize your limitations. Here's the other side of it. Politics. So Kentucky has a Democrat governor. I don't know for a fact, but in Alabama, if there's an absence in the U.S. Senate, the governor appoints. And I know that firsthand because I was on Robert Bentley's shortlist to replace Jeff Sessions, and I had to do the interviews and all that. So the governor of the state would appoint, and the balance of power is so narrow right now that no one wants to see Mitch McConnell really go, because then Governor Beshear, the Democrat from Kentucky, would appoint his successor. If that's not a horrible set of circumstances, I don't know what is. I mean, danged if you do, danged if you don't. In reality, though, the man's personal health and well-being should just get beyond politics. It should. It's also way past time for him to go. He's extremely moderate. He's not been effective in the last couple of years. We did not see much of anything come out of his efforts to lead us into the midterm elections last year. So I don't know what's happening with his health, but someone better get a handle on it sometime soon. There's a total aside for you. I just chased that rabbit. Let's move on to the dippers. Number one dipper. I got to tell you, did you see the article, Boomer, the story about the kid, Jaden from Colorado, 12 years old?
I did see this. It's pretty awesome.
He's a sharp little dude, too.
Right.
I mean, he's like got his hair combed nice and neat and shirt all tucked in. This looks like a little dude, you know. So if you guys aren't familiar with this 12-year-old student at Vanguard School in, I think it's Colorado Springs, which is a charter school. So he's got a backpack, and all he has on the back of it is this patch. You've seen it before. The yellow Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me with the coiled snake and Don't Tread on Me, bright yellow background. So all said and done, he's got this patch on the back. And the school says, I'm sorry, that's a racist emblem. You're going to have to take that off or leave. Really? Why is it racist? Because they just think so. And so this, they actually sent him home because he didn't want to take the patch off. And by the way, every time you see him, he's not a little wild-eyed kid. He's not belligerent. He's like a little snappy little dresser. You know, he just looks like he looks a little bit like he's probably a good student kind of kid and not a troublemaker. And yet he's got this yellow patch on the back that has caused them grief. The administrator at the public charter school tells the boy's mom in the video that is now out on social media that the flag has origins with slavery and the slave trade. Something about the fact that she's a teacher and doesn't know the origins of this flag before she makes these pronouncements really gives me pause. But the mom in the video replies back, no, the Gadsden flag's origins can be traced to the Revolutionary War, not to slavery. Well, it became a thing. It became a national thing. Suddenly the Vanguard School is in everybody's, viewing, and they're realizing they have totally royally screwed this up. Even the Democrat governor of Colorado chimed in and said, no, 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 no. He says, quote, the Gadsden flag is a proud symbol of the American Revolution, an iconic warning to Britain or any government not to violate the liberties of Americans. That's the Democrat governor of Colorado. So they backed off, and they let him back in. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because it turns out that this kid has been reading books called The Tuttle Twins. He's been reading books about the Tuttle Twins and their adventures and the things that they learned. And these Tuttle Twins, so I had to go check it out. So Charlene and I are looking at that this morning, as a matter of fact. I'm pretty sure she's already ordered some for the grandkids. But the Tuttle Twins are a series of books that teach kids about critical thinking, conservative values, patriotism, fiscal discipline. I mean, it's like they put into story form the things that you just love to instill in them as adults. And they're hits. And I'm thinking, why didn't I know about these books before? But it turns out this kid, who we'll just use his first name is Jaden. This kid, Jaden, loves the Tuttle Twin books. And apparently he recognized that he has a right to critical thinking and he has a right to freedom of expression and he has a right to politely say, I'm sorry, but that's not what this means. And thankfully he has parents who also backed him on it. So that's where we are. So I'm gonna take a phone call real quick on a slightly separate subject, I believe. But before I go any further, I'll just say that's where we are. I want to talk for a little bit here about raising up your child and the books that we put in front of them, the opportunities for them to gain insights and to go to adventures in their mind and to expand their horizons. Well, listen, when I was a kid, it was the Hardy Boys, and I'll tell you about that in a minute too. But yeah, how we raise up that child sometimes is in the content of the books we put in front of them. Let me just jump over here real quick and take a phone call. And it was about what I just talked about a moment ago. I think this is about McConnell. So, Mark from Madison, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it kind of ties in with everything. You know, I'm originally from Kentucky. I'm in my 50s. And it's so disturbing to me, and I'm not for sure how old you are, but I would love to know, like, the time things change. Because it even felt like, for me, I'm a history buff, that whether they were Democrat, you know, what Republican or whatever, they would always look what was best for the country. And, I mean, in Kentucky right now, the reason Beshear is not going to do anything to McConnell is because he's in the middle of an election.
Yeah.
And there's enough of that power in Kentucky that are tied to McConnell that if he were to do anything to him, it would be political death for him. I just hate the way the country has gone to that, to where now we make decisions based on the party or the power, and we forget the country. Like, I really look back and I'm thinking, how many Democrat presidents probably would be more of a conservative, better conservative candidate now, just because how weird and crazy things have gone. But yeah, it, to me, it's heartbreaking. But yeah, I know that, you know, being from Kentucky, I mean, Bashir would probably love to do that. But if he did that, there's so much powerful coal mine Kentucky money in there that,
yeah,
that McConnell has, that it would be death. I mean, he would lose by a landslide.
I didn't realize the flip side. I hadn't thought about that. But you're right. What part of Kentucky are you from, by the way?
Just outside of Louisville.
Yeah, my wife's from Louisville. The lovely Charlene. We're both in our 50s as well, so I'm sure she has some of the same memories of the state growing up. And you're right, man. And you know, and truthfully, I'd like to think that party wasn't always the thing. And I do believe what you said a moment ago. I think JFK, if he was here today, would run as a Republican. But all that to say, it's amazing that we've got an individual, Mitch McConnell, who is apparently that infirm, and no one will do a thing about it. And if they did, everybody's worried about the politics of it. It's just,
yeah, well, and the crazy thing for me is, think of any other profession. If Mitch McConnell was a heart surgeon, would we have any problems?
It's a great point.
I would.
Well, I saw the other day that what's her name, Dianne Feinstein, who is 90, has already given power of attorney to her daughter to handle her own affairs because she can't, but she's still making decisions for us. Why is that okay?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah,
Nobody's going to cry ageism with that. We can kick him out of a car, but we can't kick him out of office. You can't drive anymore, but you should be able to make every decision for our country. That's insane.
Hey, Mark, appreciate you. Thanks for sharing your bluegrass memories. All right, you have a great day, man. All right, we'll take a break. Boomer, take the break right now. We're going to come back and jump right in. Let's talk about things like, I don't know, the Tuttle Twins. And yet, what kind of books are in our libraries right now here in Alabama? And then, by the way, I found a website about manliness that has a whole thing about the Hardy Boys. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Dude, I just put in another one of those Fisherman Friend cough drops just because. I mean, I had no reason to. I wasn't coughing. My throat's not sore. I just wanted to. And then I drank water with it.
Uh-oh.
I'm pretty sure I have white fire coming out of my ears. White fire coming out of my ears. These things are crazy. All right, a couple of text messages real quick. I'll jump on them. Danny from Decatur. Henderson, Tennessee. What do you? Danny, you're on a whole separate subject. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'll check it out. Thank you, man. Charles from Decatur says, I put two sets of Tuttle Twin books in my daughter's fourth grade class, a big hit with the kids. That's awesome. That's awesome. Mike from Coxie, talking about the Hardy Boys, says, Frank and Joe Hardy was hard to beat. That's right. That's exactly right. Frank and Joe Hardy, get it done. David from Taft, Tennessee, talking about Mitch McConnell. This is why we need term limits for Congress and Senate. Lived in South Carolina and hated the fact we could not get rid of Strom Thurmond. Yeah, I mean, he was there till like he's almost 100, wasn't he? Or was he 100? Marcus from Huntsville. Have you ever noticed when people on the right stay in office too long and start to have mental instability issues, their views start to push to the left a bit? So basically all that's needed to go from the right to the left is a severe case of mental instability. Americans need that to let sink that sink in a little bit. All right, appreciate the text. Trina from Elkmont. I'm sorry, I missed these. Trina from Elkmont, McConnell should at least step down as minority leader. I agree. I mean, there's no reason why he has to maintain his leadership position. But, you know, anyway. Linda from Huntsville says, Mitch McConnell has led the Senate Republicans for 16 years, and he is Kentucky's longest-serving senator, as well as his longest-serving Senate leader. Time to retire, Mitch, she says. All right, so this kid, by the way, just type in Jaden, and it's spelled J-A-I-D-E-N, Jaden Gadsden Flag. You'll find all kinds of stuff. I mean, the kid is becoming a folk hero all of a sudden. And by I had to do some double checking to make sure. But yes, I mean, I knew it. It was there's two flags aside from the Betsy Ross flag that are associated with our troops, our movement, our patriotism during the Revolutionary War. Of course, there's the Betsy Ross flag. That became the flag that we now know as the American flag. But then there's the Gadsden flag, which is the bright yellow with the coiled rattlesnake, and it says, "Don't tread on me." And then there's also the one that has an evergreen tree on it, and it says, "An appeal to heaven." Appeal to heaven and the "Don't tread on me" flag both came about in 1775, I believe, in response to the forming of the Continental Navy to go and seize British ships. And actually, it was the Marines, the five companies of Marines that were first established to go along with the new Navy, who had their ammunition barrels painted bright yellow with the symbol of the snake on it and said, "Don't tread on me," and that became their flag. And then the Continental Navy, under George Washington's command, had the evergreen with the appeal to heaven statement on it. All that, I mean, you look at this and think, all right, come on, y'all. Why is that so scary? Why is that bad? Well, it's being associated with some radical right-wing Christian nationalists. Okay, here we go. Well, then you realize that this kid, Jaden, he's apparently been reading Tuttle Twin books. What are the Tuttle Twins? So I looked it up to find out what this is. Tuttle Twins is a series of books, which are also, by the way, now being made into online streaming cartoon-style shows. But here's the thing on the Tuttle Twins. It says, how do you describe economics to a seven-year-old? Should your preteen care about the government? Are your kids learning about the free market in class? History's watered down, key principles are omitted altogether, and time and attention are given to things of lesser importance. Freedom-loving parents have long been left alone to shoulder the burden of having to educate their children and pass down their love of liberty with a profound void in children's literature. And so now we have the Tuttle Twins. Each book in the series focuses on a different aspect of the principles of a free society. They have one book with a story about free markets, another one on competition, another one on individual rights, one about non-aggression, the other one on personal responsibility, one on protectionism. And all of it's boiled down in a way that makes it like an adventure story for kids to read and enjoy. That's awesome. And they're also being made into videos now. So the guy who created, the guy named Daniel Harmon recently discussed making the whole family-friendly content Tuttle Twins shows, which, by the way, are I think available online now, because what I'm reading here came out last year. He says the show is based on a series of books that teaches kids about the principles of freedom and economics. He said, I'm a lover of freedom. I have seven kids. I want to teach them principles of freedom because I feel like a lot of that is being lost from schools and culture. Well, you can tell when the administrator of the Vanguard School in Colorado decided to send a kid home because he had a Gadsden patch on it saying that it was associated with origins and racism and slavery. No, it wasn't, you rube. I mean, you're a teacher, for crying out loud. Don't you know these things? No, apparently they don't. Why? Because culture is doing all it can to distort who we are as a people. I mean, if you can change the history and take away the honor and the integrity of what it took to form this nation, well, then you undermine the very root of who we are. You destroy the fabric of who we are as a people. But I'm telling you, man, our kids, they're like sponges. And they are looking for something to tell them the worth of who they are as kids, as people. And one of the if you don't feel like you've got what it takes to, you know, like to give expressive stories or to be able to describe it yourself because you struggle with some of that, I get it. It might take a little more than you know how to convey or do it in a way that your child can grasp. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. Look at something like Tuttle Twins. And on top of that, what about the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew Mysteries? I was raised on them, raised my kids on them. We're going to talk about that in a minute because I found an article from a website called The Art of Manliness. It talks about the Hardy Boys. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got all of it. We got local, state, national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hour numero dos. So we're in the second hour of the show already, like the first hour just flew by. I'm still in dipper number one, calling it Raise Up That Child. And I started off a discussion about this kid in Colorado, this cool little dude kid who just looks like just a sharp little guy who had dared to have the Gadsden flag, the yellow don't tread on me flag patch on the back of his backpack. And his teacher said that is inappropriate and sent him home. And the school is now backtracked once they realize what they'd done. Before I go any more opining about that and moving into the books that can change a kid's life, let me grab the phone real quick because she held on during that long break. Lee from Huntsville. How you doing, my friend Lee?
I am good. Sounded good today.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have seen this video, and I have to say, biggest kudos go to the parents, because obviously this child is being given, you know, real knowledge, and he has an understanding. Yeah, they're providing him with the books. They're providing him with actual history. And he's proud of his country, and all these things are severely lacking, you know, currently in the state of our education system. But I will say my main problem is with, I believe this woman was an assistant principal of some sort that was talking to him.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Okay, here's my main problem is with this woman. Because instead of having a talk with his family, she should have pulled aside the teacher or the student, probably the teacher, because the students don't care about that flag, nor do they probably know what it is.
That's right.
And yes. And told the and explained actual history to the teacher that she might should have already known that, you know, instead of social justice, why don't we actually concentrate on real history and what flags mean? And just because a flag was around during the time that slaves could have existed in our United States doesn't mean that's what it represents. And I'm sick of all of history being perverted to fit their message.
Yep, exactly.
I'm sorry, but I love that flag. The Gadsden flag is, one of my neighbors has it on his flagpole. Love it. I also enjoy the flag from that Benjamin Franklin made. It's a join or die with the 8-piece snake.
Yes.
That he made for the colonies to join together. What they represent is our spirit, our American spirit, our buck the authority, buck the monarchy, you know. Stick it in his eye to the king. That's what that represents. It's our American spirit, and it's that we're not going to take your taxation without representation. We want to be our own thing, and we want to be what is, you know, America, which is an idea more than it is anything else.
Well, and that's missing so much from what we see being provided to kids. And you know, like I've got a story here that I'll get to in a minute. 1819 News did one that came out today, as a matter of fact, about how once again another local public library in Alabama has highly inappropriate books in the kids section. And you're thinking, why is that not controversial? And yet, for some reason, they find it controversial for this kid to have a Gadsden flag on. But he's been reading these Tuttle Twins books, apparently, which I'm still kind of finding out about myself. But there are resources out there that will teach true history and patriotism and you know, critical thinking and that kind of stuff to kids.
I mean, I suggest everyone go out and support them. Support Brave Books,
which were
read at the library,
yeah.
You know, when they have the library thing. People need to understand that libraries as a whole, including the Alabama library system, the national library system, local, they're all extremely liberal, extremely, even in this state.
Yeah.
They hide in certain spots, and that's one of them.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you as always.
Thanks.
I see you. So, yeah, I mentioned before I go into the books that I do love, let me talk about some things that are driving me crazy. So here we are finding controversy, actual controversy, in the idea that a kid would read something like the Tuttle Twins. And by the way, when you Google it, when you Google Tuttle Twins books, oh my gosh, you're going to have to wade through the number of books or number of articles written by liberal periodicals like Axios and Politico and Bloomberg that will say, I mean, the headlines were obnoxious. Right-wing propaganda embedded in children's books. It was unbelievable. Extremist libertarianism branded in children's books. Why don't you care about the, you know, over-sexualization of books in kids' libraries? You care about something that teaches them that the free market is really kind of good, or that, you know, patriotism is wonderful. Love of country is story here on 1819 News. Dale County, which is down yonder in the Wiregrass area, Dale County, where Ozark, Fort Rucker, all that area is, Dale County Commissioner Adam Infinger has made official requests as of this week to remove two books from the young adult section of the Ozark-Dale County Library. Commissioner Infinger pointed out that he's not asking to ban the books, just simply move them to the adult section. And I'm not going to read you everything that's in these books because I don't even feel like saying those words online, on air. But in the written request, Infinger wrote examples of inappropriate material, including depictions of, you know, everything from group sex and sexual assaults and, you know, things in actual sex acts. They were in books like The Mirror Season and Only Most Devastated. And there were references to bestiality in the books. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And they're in the kids section. Why is that okay? It's not okay. He said constituents have provided, this is in Alabama. This is today's headline. Constituents have provided me with book titles that are currently housed in the section of the library designated for 12-year-olds they find questionable. He says, I'm doing my best to research the books as quickly as possible. These are the first two I've had the opportunity to look at, and to say that I'm appalled that these are labeled appropriate for 12 and 13-year-old children is an understatement. After reading the content, I don't believe anyone would think these books are for kids. It's time to move them and any other book with content like this to the adult section of the library. So what really just galls me is that liberals can't see, but then again, maybe they do. Maybe they do. You know, why am I saying maybe? They do. They know exactly what they're doing. Let me just go ahead and be less equivocal. Liberals know exactly what they're doing with the books they're putting in kids' faces. They know exactly what they're doing. You know what? We have to be just as intentional. We have to be just as intentional with what we put in front of our kids to help expand their minds. Boomer, I know you guys, you said y'all read to your kids. You got the two youngins, and y'all read a lot of Bible stories, I know you said, right?
A lot of Bible stories and just other little kid books.
But you also have to check them out now.
Oh, yeah, we have to check them out now. Actually, just the other day, my mom was at a public library.
Yeah.
And didn't bring home a couple books because it just didn't seem right.
Yeah. And your mom's got a long history in education.
I mean,
she's been an educator for many, many moons. Taught both my kids, but
it's just nuts. Even now, I mean, my wife and I just read the books before we start reading them to the kids if we have any new books in the house, only because I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, it's a mess. Well, listen, tell you what we're gonna do. Let's take a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back, and I'm gonna dive into one of my favorites. I'll get some text messages from y'all. And then I've got an article here from a website called theartofmanliness.com. 9 things that a grown man can learn from the Hardy Boys. I'm going to tell you right now, I've still got my Hardy Boy collection. Saved them for my kids, and we saved them for the grandkids. You can learn from the Hardy Boys. It's amazing. Raise up those kids. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, going to the phones real quick. Is that Amy from Rainbow City? Hey, Amy, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well. Thanks for your great monologue today, and I agree. We are at war for the hearts of our children. And just recently, I went to our local public library because I had heard so many other people talk about it, and I thought, you know, I haven't even gone to check out my own libraries in the area. And I found a number of books that were sexually explicit, and all you have to do is Google in gender or sex or, you know, transgender, and you get, you know, 80 books come up.
Oh, wow.
So then I went to the library, and I filled out the form, and I requested that they order the book, Kirk Cameron, Pride Comes Before a Fall, from Brave Books.
Yeah.
And I was told it was back-ordered. They couldn't get it. I was told it was too controversial. Then I was told it was too expensive.
Too expensive.
And so I looked at one of the books, which was Being Transgender. It was exactly the same price at $23 a book.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
So I just ordered it myself, and I'm going to donate it.
There you go.
So
I was about to say, can we do that? Outstanding.
Well, I asked them, I said, if I buy them and donate them, will you shelve them on your shelves for other people? And they said, probably not, because they're too controversial, but they would resell them in their book sale.
That's right there in Rainbow City?
No, that's in the Gadsden Public Library.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow, Amy. I had a library card for that library for years, and that's galling. Okay.
Yes.
I wonder if
the
mayor knows that.
Encourage your listeners to fill out the forms, go in their libraries and fill out the forms and request good books to be put in our libraries.
Outstanding.
And go in and look yourself. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate that very much. Wow. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. See ya. All right. So that's a great point. Go check out your library. Offer to buy them the book. I mean, that's like putting them like, well, I'm sorry, we can't. It's on back order. It's not back order. You can get them if you want to. It's rather expensive. Okay, I'll buy it for you. We just really don't want it. Yeah, now we understand. All right. So listen, when I was a kid, talking about books that expand your horizons and give you values. For me, it was the Hardy Boys. And it just, I'm sure some of y'all out there were too. I loved books like Encyclopedia Brown. I used to read, you know, the Tom Swift, and I used to read things like Doc Savage and all that kind of stuff. But the Hardy Boys were like the bedrock. And the Hardy Boys books, I've got a piece here. I took this off a website. Don't know much else about the website. I could be pointing you in a bad direction here, but it's called theartofmanliness.com. And it talks about the fact that for the last 90 years, the Hardy Boys books have never been out of print. They've been translated into 25 different languages. Over 1 million copies are sold annually every year. They've been made into movies and miniseries and, you know, TV shows. So what is it that made them so, you know, popular and so enduring, I guess? And that's the things you gain from it. It was adventure. There's that. Kids read it, they're like, I used to read these and I couldn't hardly wait. I had to turn the page and find out what's happening. I'd be the kid who was like, you know, up at night reading with a flashlight because I had to know what happened. And I was a voracious reader as a kid. And I went through Hardy Boys books like nobody's business. And then I go back and read them again. And I remember I read them to my son. Now, our daughter was Nancy Drew. Our son was, you know, was the Hardy Boys. But I remember reading to my son when he was like 4. And we would read about 10 pages a night. And, you know, I'll never forget. He would lay there on his pillow at night when I'd read to him, and he'd be staring at the ceiling, and you could tell he was picturing everything I was saying, the adventure, the mystery, the things they did, the values, the skills they put in. And all of it sort of instituted things in him that I know are still there to this day. I'll never forget, too, one time I come in, and I said, all right, buddy, let's see. Where were we last night? 4 years old. He goes, Daddy, Frank and Joe were down at the docks, and the bad guys had Chet and Biff in the boathouse, and they were trying to get help. And I looked at him. I went, you are absolutely right. I couldn't believe he could remember all that, but it was because we were expanding his horizons. Later on, when he could read himself, he read them himself. So this article I've got here from this website says 9 things that a grown man can learn from the Hardy Boys. Basically, what he's saying is he saved his books like I've done for my kids and my grandkids. And he looked back through them. He thought, what is it about these books? Here's the things they did. He said, number one, develop a wide variety of skills. Talked about how the Hardy Boys were strong, athletic, brave, clever. They were resourceful. They had all kinds of different skills. They didn't mind learning new things. They didn't mind hard work. And they developed their athleticism. And it was just something that, you know, it was obvious. If they could put their hands to it, they would. That's it. Number two, they would be perennially curious. They were constantly making logical deductions. They were constantly connecting incidents and solving mysteries. They didn't mind using their minds as well as their bodies to get something done. Or how about this? Strengthening their powers of observation. I mean, from a young age, their father told them, and it was a quote in one of the books, stop, don't do like other people and walk around in a trance. How do we see people in this day and age walking out of a Walmart through the parking lot full of moving cars, staring at their phones, never keeping their head on a swivel or being aware of their surroundings? Not in the Hardy Boys. They taught them to always be aware of your surroundings and be observant. What about this? Have a robust everyday carry kit. The Hardy Boys, if something happened, they just went to their car and got the flashlight or the tool or the pocket knife, or they always had, you know, something to write on. They had their strike anywhere matches. They had a first aid kit. I mean, it was like they had their go bag at all times, and they were resourceful that way. It was just, you know, something that's part of the books. But you begin to realize it and go, yeah, you should have a flashlight in your glove box. Why wouldn't you? How about this one? How about the parents in the book were willing to be examples and mentors to the kids? And he points out that their dad, Fenton Hardy was his name. He was a former New York City police officer. He was now a private detective. He was manly, athletic, intelligent, thoughtful, had unwavering integrity. At one point, there's one part where the bad guys got him. And the ringleader was taunting the dad, Fenton Hardy. What are you going to do about your family? What are you going to do about them when you're doing your duty and it winds up costing you? And he replied, they'd rather know that I died doing my duty than to have me come back to them as a protector of smugglers and criminals. That's what the Hardy Boys taught. It taught kids how to have adventure. It taught kids how to go places in their mind and to know what was matters and to have friends and to, you know, be caring at the same time, be courageous. Anyway, all I'm saying is, yeah, am I bragging on those books? I am. I'm a firm believer. I think the Hardy Boys next to the Bible are, you know, like something that in the literature sense impacted my life. It matters. It matters how we raise up our children. It matters what we put in front of them. It matters that this kid out in Colorado, Jaden, had been reading the Tuttle Twins and felt confident in his position because he had been given something that helped him to critically think about things and to have the ability to express himself in the middle of it. At the same time, for my generation, it was the Hardy Boys. And we've got others. We've got Brave Books. We've got Rush. One of the listeners just texted in a minute ago that one of the things that's out there, too, is Rush Limbaugh wrote a series of books about Liberty the Talking Horse that would tell kids about history and patriotism. I'm just telling you, be intentional, folks. Books will expand a kid's mind. And how you raise that child sometimes is also what you put in front of them. It matters. It's the stories we tell that'll stick. All right, folks, we're going to switch gears here in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.